Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf, or tomorrow's daf, is daf Kuf Chaf Av Maseches Yevamos. We are holding on daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We are at the Gemara right after the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. I don't think by anybody else. And we are going to discuss the following. The Mishnah had said that that according to Rabbi Lazar, if you have two women that each claim that their husband had died, and they're both tzaros to each other, or they're tzaros yivamah, they're both married to brothers, they can't rely on each other. So we had said, as far as yibum is concerned, that if they're both nisyabim, if they both go and have yibum, then they're and the yivamah died, then they're going to be ushered to get remarried. But Rabbi Lazar said, no. Once we were matter them to marry the Yavamin, they're mutter to marry everybody else as well. So the Gemara is going to explain why Rabbi Lazar allows them to rely on the edus of the Tzara, and it's going to have two possibilities of why Rabbi Lazar allows it, with enough gemina between the two possibilities, and then we're going to bring two rayas, which of the possibilities is in fact correct. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Aleph is going to talk about identifying a body, how much you have to be able to see of the body in order to identify that this is in fact the person. How much of the person's facial complexion do you need to see of the body in order to testify? And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether simanim are considered to be proof, mida oraisa or midrabanan, and we're going to apply that to identifying a body. Let's say there are simanim because you know what clothing the nifter was wearing, and you know, or the supposed nifter was wearing, you know what kalim he was carrying, things of that nature. Then the Gemara is going to talk about being meyid when there is a severed limb. Can you be meyid that the person died if there is a limb that was severed from the person's body? And we're going to talk about if you saw a chaya ocheles, you saw a wild beast eating from the person, is that also enough evidence to be made that the person is dead? Or can we assume that maybe the chaya is ocheles from the person, even though Rachman al Tzan, the person is still alive? So let's begin with the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah. So the Gemara brings another situation where two women are married to two brothers, and that was not mentioned in the Mishnah. Remember, the Mishnah mentioned four different permutations of two women married to two brothers. So now the Gemara adds another one. So Tana, the Tosefta taught, Lazu Edim Ubanim, Lazu Lo Edim Velo Banim. Let's say one of these women has Edim that her husband is dead, and she also has children. The other woman has no Edim that her husband is dead, but she also does not have children. So the halach is Shteyan Mutaros. They're both allowed to get remarried, because they're both believed about them, meaning both of them are saying that their own husband died, so they're both believed about themselves, and they both do not require Yibum with the other one either, because the one that has Edim that her husband died, but also has Banim, so she doesn't need any Edim that the Yavam is dead, because she's not in a Yibum situation. She has children. The one that doesn't have banim, but the yavam, the supposed yavam, there's edim that he's dead. So she's not going to require yibum, because the other woman had edim that her husband was dead. So therefore, neither of them would be in a yibum situation. So that's actually quite simple, meaning it's obvious that neither of them are going to require a yibum. So now, we had said in the Mishnah that if both of the women went and are nisyabmu, and they are nisyabmu to other brothers, meaning they were married to Reuven and Shimon, and then they go and they do Yibum to Levi and Yehuda, and then Umesua Yevamin, and then the Yevamin die without any children. So now, does it present a new Yibum situation? So Asur and Leinase, they're not allowed to get married to anybody else, because each one still requires Yibum from the husband, from the brother that they cannot trust is actually dead. Meaning, I can trust myself. Mrs. Reuven can say, I trust myself that Reuven is dead, but I cannot trust Mrs. Shimon that Shimon is dead. And Mrs. Shimon could say, I could trust myself that Shimon is dead, but I cannot trust Mrs. Reuven that Reuven is dead. And therefore, there is a surviving Yavam. See, even though in the interim they got married to Levi and Yehuda, but Levi and Yehuda are now dead. So now, if as long as somebody is alive, as one of the brothers might be alive, they're stuck in this Yibum situation. So they're not allowed to get remarried. But Rabbi Elazar Omer, omer ha'ol v'hutru le'yavamin hutru l'kal adam. Since they were mutter to marry the yavamin, so once we allowed them to do yibum, so we allowed them to marry anybody once those yavams die, b'cheskas that the husbands and the yavamin actually die. Meaning, why would we have allowed both Mrs. Reuven and Mrs. Shimon to do yibum the first time around? It must be because that's a statement of certainty that that Reuven and Shimon are both really dead. So if Reuven and Shimon are both really dead, there are no surviving brothers left. So once we allow both of them to do yibum, that's the equivalent of us saying that we are confident that both Reuven and Shimon are in fact dead. So by Rava, my time at Rabbi Elazar, what is really the basis for Rabbi Elazar allowing them to get married Lushuk without being choshesh that maybe the Yavam is alive and that they need to do Yibum and to rely on the other woman's testimony that her own husband had died? Mishum de kasavar tsara mi'ida l'chaverta. Is it because that he holds, Rabbi Elazar disagrees with the Tanakama about the entire chashash and thinks that a tsara can be made even for the benefit of her co-wife, and we don't have to be choshesh that she's going to lie about her edus to try to ruin her friend? Tosos points out that even lefi this tzad of Rava, it's not that a tzara is always going to be believed. It's dafka where each one of them is really coming to testify about themselves. That's when we're saying that the tzara is going to be believed. Meaning everyone agrees to the Mishnah that there are five nashim that are not believed, and a tzara is certainly top on the list of women that you cannot trust when they tell you about your husband. But in our case, each of the women came to tell us about their own husband. So Mrs. Shimon really came to tell us about Shimon, and Mrs. Reuven really came to tell us about Reuven. So the question is, can Mrs. Reuven trust Mrs. Shimon about Shimon? So that's where the Gemara is suggesting. Maybe yes. Maybe since Mrs. Shimon was really coming to talk about her own husband for herself so that she can get remarried, maybe we in fact can trust her to allow Mrs. Reuven not to be zakuk liyibum. O Dilma mishum dihila makalkal anavsha. Or maybe it's not that she can be trusted. Rabbi Elazar agrees to the Tanakama that we have to be choshesh that nedus of a tzara that or a yavama that she's not neeman to be made because she wants to destroy her friend. But in a case where she's made that she where she already got married to someone else, she certainly doesn't want to ruin her own life. Meaning, if Mrs. Shimon is going to come and testify that Shimon is dead, but Mrs. Shimon is then going to get remarried, then you could trust Mrs. Shimon that Shimon is dead, because she would not come to tell you that her husband is dead just to ruin Mrs. Reuven's life and to let her be mutter l'shuk and then find out that Shimon's alive. She's ruining her own life because she's getting remarried, and if she's an Eish HaSish getting remarried, she's really ruining her own life. So says, well, the Ma'anav Kamina, what difference does it make whether the basis of Rabbi Elazar's Svara is that you could trust the Tzara, or the basis of Rabbi Elazar's Svara is that because Mrs. Shimon got remarried and Mrs. Reuven got remarried, so you can trust, so each one can trust the other. So Lansuve L'Tzara Mekame Dida. Naf Kamina would be to get remarried before the Tzara gets remarried. So I Amrit Tzara Mi'ida L'Chaverta, if you're going to say that we just trust the Tzara, so then it has nothing to do with whether the woman who testified that her own husband died got remarried yet. You're just allowed to trust her. But I Amrit, but if the whole basis is that she wouldn't ruin herself, that if she got remarried, the one who said that her own husband died got remarried, then we could allow the other woman to get remarried. But if she did not get remarried, so then you cannot allow her to get remarried. So that would be the clear nafkamina. So says Gemara, what taka is the reason for Blazer? Which of these possibilities is correct? So the Gemara is going to have two possible rayas. Tashima, raya number one, from our Mishnah, that it says, Rabbi Elazar Amar Hol v'hutru li'yavamin, hutru l'kol adam, that since they're mutter to the yavamin, they're mutter for everybody. And so we see that he was careful to say that they were mutter to those women that only after they got remarried to the yavamin are they mutter. So i'am ripish lama dihila makalkla nafsha, if you're going to say that the basis of Rabbi Elazar Shita is that she would never ruin herself, she would never destroy her own life, so then I understand. Hainu, diki insim nasvinallah. That's why it makes sense. And according to Rav Lazar, after she already got she already got remarried to the Yavam, we're going to allow the other one to get remarried. But Eli'i Amrit Mishum Tzara Mi'ida L'Chaverta. But if the basis is that it's Sarah's Neman to be made for her Chavera, so then Aval Gavdalom in Tzibnami, then even if she did not do Yibum with one of the other brothers, she should be trusted. Ella Shmamina, time of Rav Lazar, Mishum Itzavu V'lova Kalkla Nafsha. So it must be that the real basis for Rav Lazar is because she got remarried and she would not ruin her own life. So says the Gemara, that's not necessarily a raya. It could be that Rabbi Lazar l'divrayam kamar luhu, that Rabbi Lazar was just talking to the Rabbanan on their own level, and what he really meant to say is, l'didi, I really hold tzara mi l'chaverta, that you could trust the tzara about the other tzara. V'alvagav delo insav, even if she did not yet put her money where her mouth is and get remarried, m'rasvinala, you still let the other one get remarried. L'didchu, but according to you, that you want to say that you a tzara cannot be made about the other one, but at least at least be moded to me that once she's already gotten remarried, then we're going to, once the woman who testified that her own husband died has relied on that to get remarried, that we're also going to allow the other woman to get remarried, because she's not going to want to ruin her own life. V'rabbanon, and the Rabbanon will say, who says she's not going to want to ruin her own life? Thomas Nafshi implishtim utakavda. Just like Shimshon HaGibor pulled down the pillars of the Colosseum to kill all the Plishtim, and he, even though he knew that that was certain death for himself as well, sometimes people feel that they hate their enemies more than they love themselves, and they're willing to take down the other party, even if it means their own death. So over here also, maybe that's the attitude that this person has, that it's a tamas nafshi in plishtim. She's willing to ruin her own life if it means getting remarried, and that's the only way that she's going to have ne'amanus. She's willing to do that in order to be able to ruin her tzara's life. So says Gemara, okay, let's try to bring another raya to this suffix of what exactly is the svara of Rabbi Lazar. So Tashema, we have another raya from a brisa. Ha'isha shalchi yubal medina siyam bavamra meis baili, a woman who went with her husband to Medina Siyam, and she came back and she said, my husband is dead, tinase. We allow her to get remarried, vititol ksubasa, and she gets to collect her ksuba. Vitsarasa, the co-wife who did not go to Medina Siyam and did not see that her husband is dead, Asura, is not allowed to get remarried because she cannot rely on the edus of the tzara. But Rabbi Lazar Amar, holvu hutrihi, hutrinami tzarasa. Rabbi Lazar says, no, if we're going to trust the wife that went with the husband and then we're going to allow her to get remarried, so the tzara that stayed behind is also going to be mutter to get remarried. So what do you see from Rabbi Lazar? That it's good enough that we were just matir, the woman. She didn't have to actually get remarried in order for her tzara to rely on her. All she had to do was come to Beis Din and say that her husband is dead, and we were matir her. We didn't require her to actually get remarried. So says Gemara, Ema hol v'hutra v'nises. So v'nises. No, so says Gemara, no, there's a word missing over there. It's not hol v'hutra hi, that just because we allow her to get remarried, we're going to allow the tzara to get remarried. It's hol v'hutra v'nises. Since we allowed her to get remarried, and she in fact got remarried, only then will we allow the tzara. But really, she has to get remarried in order for the tzara to trust her. I v'leichesh dilma begita asayis. So says Gemara, but still, shouldn't we be choshesh that maybe the woman who came back from Medina Seyam, who was supposedly with the husband, maybe she's claiming meis bali, and when she got remarried, she wasn't ruining her own life, because maybe the husband really gave her a get. So she has a get the whole time that she's keeping in her pocket and she's not showing us. So she's saying, meis bali, the tzara's going to get remarried, husband's going to come home, ruin the tzara's life, and then we'll say, oh, but what about you, lady? How did you get remarried? She'll pull out again and say, because I was divorced the whole time, so I was allowed to get remarried. So, maybe she was only having kavana to ruin the tzara. So says Mari, idi insiv li Yisrael hachinami, hachamai askin and insiv l'kavim. So you're right, we would be choshish for that if the person she got remarried to was a Yisrael. The case is, though, that the person person she in fact got remarried to was a Kohen, so that would ruin her own life, because if the husband were to come home, so she would, we would say, lady, how could you get remarried? Your husband's alive. So what? She'll pull out a get. We'll say, lady, how could you marry a Kohen? You're a Grusha. A Grusha is not allowed to marry a Kohen. So that's the end of that sugyo. What the sheet of Reb Lazar is, the Gemara leaves it by the Lifshita. We never really reconcile to understand exactly what the sheet of Reb Lazar is. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah discusses what type of how much of the person's body do you need to see in order to be able to positively identify the person? So the Mishnah explains, what is the edus of Misa Sabal that works? So ein mi'idin ela al parts of panim imachotim. You need to see the face with the nose, but if you don't see the face with the nose, so then you cannot be made. Afal pi sheish simanim begufa ubekelav. Even though there might be simanim on the person's body or on his clothing, which that would not be enough of a raya, you would need to see his face. Now there is a machlokas aposkim. The Mishnah over here says if there are simanim on the body, that's not enough. If there are simanim of the kalim, that's not enough. What if there are simanim of both the body and the kalim? So would that be good enough? So that is a machlokas aposkim, whether that would work or not. Maybe the question over here is afapli sheshman begufo ubekalev is the vav over here or is the vav and, even though there are simanim on the guf or the kalim, or even though there is simanim on the guf and the kalim. You also cannot testify until the person is actually dead. Even if you saw him chopped up into pieces, or you saw him hanging somewhere, or if you saw a wild beast eating a piece of him, you cannot be made, because there's still the suffix that maybe he somehow escaped that situation and was somehow saved and was somehow achieved a refuah. You also cannot be made unless you saw him within 3 days of his death. But if you see him after 3 days of his death, then you cannot be made about him, because we're choshesh that his whole look, the look of the body, changes entirely over the course of 3 days, and you're not going to be able to really genuinely recognize the person. Now, if you're not sure whether 3 days passed or not, so that's a machlokas rishonim, whether you can be mekel. So they're medayik from the girsa in our Mishnah that eimi idin ella ad shloshi yamim, that you need to know that it's not yet 3 days that have passed. That's how they bring a raya from our Mishnah, that it has to be with certainty that 3 days have not passed. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava disagrees on the last din that the Tanakhama said, and he said lo kol adam lo kol makom v'lo kol hasha'os shavin. There's no magic number of 3 days. Different bodies change at different rates. Different bodies change based at different rates based on where you are in the world. Is it very hot outside? Is it cold outside? So the body may be preserved in the freezing cold, but it may more quickly decompose in the heat. And certainly different seasons of the year, kalashos are not all shavin, even in different parts of the world. So you can't necessarily make an ironclad rule about X number of hours that you have to see the body within from the time of death. So Tanur Rabbanan says the Braisa, Padachas velo parts of panim. If you see only the forehead, but you don't see the parts of panim, you don't see the cheekbones. Parts of panim velo padachas. You see the cheekbones, but you don't see the forehead. Ein mi'idin. So you cannot be meyed ad shiushneim imachotim. You have to be able to see the cheekbones, the forehead, and the nose. And once you see the whole upper part of the face, so then you could be meyed about the person. Amra bayivitei merav kana mikra. What's the pasuk from which we derive that you need to see the whole parts of panim? Hakaras pinehem unsabam. That you see that hakaras pinehem, that only through heker panim is there edus. Can you be made about them? Unsabam means you're made about them. But without that, without hakaras panim, then you cannot be made. So the Gemara brings a raya. Abba bar Marta do Abba bar Minyumi. Abba bar Marta, who happens to be the same person as Abba bar Minyumi, In Seder Adoros, it says that Yesh Omrim, that Marta was his mother's name, and Menyumi was his father's name, and that's how he's called both. He's called Abba Bar Marta and Abba Bar Menyumi, because those are the names of his two parents. Savamaski be Deberish Galusa, the Deberish Galusa Zuze. The Reish Galusa was after him for money, that he owed them money. So Isi Kiro, what he did is he took some wax, Dovak Bival Yasa, and he put some of it on a Shmata, and Dovak Bapuse, and he put it over his forehead to make it like his forehead was larger. And Chalav Kamayu, and he walked right in front of the Reish Galusa, Velobishkarua, and they didn't recognize him. It's like Hollywood, makeup that they do, to make a person look older or younger or whatever. And they change the whole parts of panim of the person. So he did something like that, right? Like he put some wax on his forehead. And once they weren't able to see his forehead, they weren't able to recognize him at all. So Gemara says, don't you see? This is a raya that even if you see a person's nose, you see a person's cheeks, you're not going to see, if you don't see his forehead, you're not going to be able to recognize that it's in fact that same person. Now the Mishnah said, we're only made on a mace, av bishay simanim, only if you see his face, even if there are simanim on his guf and on his kalim. So says the Gemara, the meimra the simanim labda raisa. Do you mean to tell me that simanim are not considered a raya min haTorah? So we hear where we allow, where we want to allow the woman to get remarried, simanim is not going to be enough to be matir an eishes ish da'oraisa, because simanim are not da'oraisa, meaning this is in fact a suffix in the Gemara Maseches Bamatzia, Neilu Metzios, right? Neilu Metzios, where it comes to returning an object based on someone giving a simin for the object. So it's a machlokas whether simanim are da'oraisa or drabanan. The basis of the suffix is a drasha for the pasuk. Pasuk says by an aveda, v'chein ta'asel l'sim l'so. So we darshan masim l'miyuchedas sheish l'simanim. So too, any aveda that you're machzir al yedei simanim. But if simanim are derabanan, so we darsh in the pasuk to tell me masim l'miyuchedas sheish l'tovin. So too, any aveda that you're machzir is only if someone makes a claim on it. So the Gemara says nafkamina whether simanim daraisa derabanan in a case where a shliach loses a get and someone else finds it. Can the shliach return the get al yedei simanim? Because over there you're dealing with a din da'oraisa. You're dealing with a real da'oraisa shayla, v'neshes ish. So if simanim are da'oraisa, then you can return a get mi da'oraisa. But if simanim are not da'oraisa, then you cannot return a get. You can return other objects when it's dinim amanus and efker bez and efker and everything else. Okay, we'll rely on simanim d'rabanan. But if simanim are d'rabanan, you cannot return a get. That's mi da'oraisa. So says Gemara, is our Mishnah a raya? That simanim are not da'oraisa. So says Gemara Minhi, I'll ask you stira. How can it be that simanim are not da'oraisa? After all, it says mitzau kasher bekis varniki b'tabas. If the shliach finds a get tied up in a wallet or in a bag or in a tabas, in some sort of ring that holds the get together, ocean into ben kalev, or he finds the get amongst his kalim. Afilu lizman meruba, even if even after a long period of time, that a kasher, then the get is going to be kasher because we rely on the simanim that you have on the kiss or on the arniki, and it's muchach that we apparently do rely on simanim. So Tosis points out dafka if there are edim that he had lost it, or that someone else had found it, you need simanim. But if he himself finds it, and there are no edim that he lost it, then of course, then you don't even need simanim. I mean, if I lose something, if I lose the get, and then I find the get, and no one even knew that I lost it in the first place, then I don't need simanim, because we're going to believe me that it's the same get, because I could have told you that I never lost it in the first place, and I'd be believed. So that's what Tosus points out, that if we know that it was lost, there are edim that was lost, and then I come back with simanim, and I say that I found it with simanim, so then it's going to be valid. So apparently we do rely on simanim, even for a get, even for a daraisa dikadin. So how come in our Mishnah, when it comes to the Misa Sabal, we're not going to rely on simanim? So Rabbi lo kasha. Abai says, not a kasha, it's not a steer from our Mishnah to the Braisa, because it's really totally in a machlokas tanoim, whether simanim and daraisa drabanan. Ha, Rabbi Loza ben Mahavahi, the Braisa that says that simanim are good enough on a daraisa level, follows Rabbi Loza ben Mahavahi. Ha, Rabbanan, in our Mishnah, it says that we don't rely on simanim, follows the sheet of the Rabbanan, Ditanya. Ein mi'idin ala shuma. You cannot be made to be matir and isha whose husband had died based on a mole or something that you find in one of the limbs of the body. Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai Omer Me'idin. And Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai says you can be Me'id and be Matir to get remarried based on a Shuma. So my love, Bakumivki. So if the only identifying feature is a mole on a particular part of the body, that is a classic example of a simin. So what they're arguing about is the Mar Sava Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai holds Simanim Daraisa, Omar Saver Simanim Drabanan, and the Rabbanim and the Rabbanim hold that Simanim are only Drabanan, and therefore you cannot rely on the mole. You can only rely on Simanim for Hashavas Aveda. But when dealing with the matters of that are of Daraisa level, you cannot rely on Simanim. So says Mar, not Araya. Omar Rava, you cannot prove from the fact that they argue about a mole whether all Simanim are Daraisa Drabanan, because it could be Dukuli Alma Simanim Daraisa. That everyone holds Simanim Daraisa. V'hacha b'shuma mitzuya b'ben gilo kamiflagi. The machlokas is how good of a simon is a mole. The mar savor the rabbanon who say do not rely on a shuma say shuma mitzuya b'ben gilo. That anyone could have a mole on that part of the body. That's not something that's so unique to a person. Umar savor einu mitzuya ben gilo. And Rav Elazar ben Mavai says to have dafka that kind of mole on that exact part of the body, highly unlikely that someone else has it. And therefore, that is considered in a strong enough sin. The Ikeda Amri and others say that everyone holds Simanim Daraisa, but Hacha B'Shuma Asuya L'Shtanel Sachar Misa Kamifli. Over here, they're arguing about whether we make the assumption that moles are likely to change after the person dies. That Mar Savra, the Rabbanan say that when you see the Shuma on the dead body, we're Choshesh that maybe it's not the same person that we knew with that Shuma while he was alive, because Asuya L'Shtanel Sachar Misa. It could be that it changed after he died. Umar Savra, and Elazar ben Mavai says, Ein Asuya L'Shtanel Sachar Misa. It's not likely that it will change Lachar Misa. So now a third way to reject Rava V'Igada Amri, a third way to understand Rava's rejection of the association of the machlokas about a mole with the issue of whether we rely on simanim. V'Igada Amri Amar Rava D'Kulei Alma Simanim D'Rabbanan. Another possibility is that maybe all shitos about the mole assume that simanim are drabanan. Why then would anyone rely on it when it comes to a matter of such import about a person's death? V'hacha b'shuma siman mufak kamifli. Over here they're arguing whether a shuma is in fact a siman mufak. That mar savar siman mufak. Rabbi Elazar ben Mavai holds it's a siman mufak. So even though a siman beinani would not be enough to be matir daraisa, a siman mufak would be. Umar savar lav siman mufak, and the rabbanan hold that it's not a siman mufak. And therefore, just like a simon beinani is not daraisa, would not work for a daraisa, so a mol is a simon beinani and would not work for a din daraisa. Ulahach lishna da amar Rava simanim daraisa hakatani afal pi sheyesh simanim begufa bekelev. Says the Gemara, but wait a second. According to the first version of Rava, to the first rejection of Rava, remember what happened over here. We're trying to figure out whether simanim are daraisa or dirabanan. So we said the indication from our Mishnah is that simanim are dirabanan, but the indication about a lost get is that simanim are daraisa. So Abaye said, oh, it's a machlokas tanoim, it's a machlokas tanoim about whether a mole is a simin. So Rava rejected that association with the machlokas about the mole in three ways. Either that, of course, simanim are daraisa. The question is, how likely is it that someone else will have the same mole? Or, of course, simanim are daraisa. And the whole question is whether moles change after death? Or, of course, simanim are derabanan, but a shuma might be a very high-level simin. It's a simin muvhak. So says Mar, if you're going to assume that simanim are daraisa, what do you do with our Mishnah? Hadaktani afbi sheyesh simanim begufa bekelev, meaning we pointed out at the beginning that our Mishnah says we don't rely on simanim of his body or his kelim. You need to see his face. Simanim are not enough. So if simanim are really daraisa, why would we not rely on his guf and on his kelim? So says Gemara, our Mishnah must be talking about what kinds of simanim are there on his guf and his kelim. Guf o da aruch, the goats. The simanim on his guf are that he's tall or that he's short. So that maybe simanim beinanim would work for an isidaraisa. But that's a simen garua. It must be him. He's 5'7". Well, you know how many Jews there are that are 5'7"? Right, that's not enough to say that that's a simen. So, and kelav, the chashin l'sheila. And the fact that he's wearing a certain an item of clothing, it could be that he borrowed the clothing, that it's not, you know, we don't know that it's the same person. That's a simen garua. So even if Yod Simanim Daraisa, a simen bain in these Daraisa, but a simen garua is certainly not Daraisa. Says the Gemara, wait a second, v'chashin l'sheila for choshesh, that a person is going to borrow something. So chamor b'simani ukaf, Hechi Madrinon, how do we ever return a donkey with the simanim of the saddle, that we use the saddle as a simon for that donkey? So lo shaliin shi ukva demaskivle lechamra, says Gemara, because no one would ever lend a saddle of a donkey, because it sort of takes the shape of the animal's back, and when you put it on the wrong animal, it starts scratching it and causing all sorts of tsaros to the animals, tsar balichayim. But so kasha, because we aren't going to bas hechi madrinon, but says Gemara, but wait, we said if you find a get in the same wallet, in the same pouch, in the same ring, that you're allowed to return it, but that's only, but if people lend kelim to each other, maybe you lent the kli that holds that get. So it says more, taba'as chai shu lizyuf, eh? No one would ever lend the taba'as to each other, because it's a signet, and people are choshesh that they're going to use their signet to be mezayif things, to forge things. Kisva arniki, menachshi inchi velo moshli. People are very protective of their wallets. People assume that it's bad luck to lend out their kiss and their arniki. They're not going to lend out their wallets. Or it could be, says the Gemara, going back to answer the previous question, that according to Rava, that simanim daraisa, why can't we be made based on the simanim of the mace? So says Gemara, maybe the simanim about the person's kelim are also simanim geruim, because there are simanim about the color of the kli, which, you know, there could be tons of kelim that have that same color, so that's a simen garua, and therefore maybe even if simanim are daraisa, we're not going to rely on simanim in this case. So then we said, afilu ru'u meguya, that even if you see that he was dismembered, that his limb was severed, you can't be made about him that he's in fact dead. There is a machlokes rishonim, what type of meguyod we're talking about over here. The Ramban writes that it's dafka, if the limb is severed in a place that would not make him a trefa, so then you have to be choshish that maybe he's really alive. But the Re quoted in Tosfos holds that even if a limb is cut off in a place that would make him a trefa, which means he can't survive very long that way, still you can't be made about him, because you have to be choshish that maybe you're going to let her get remarried before he actually dies. Meaning a trefa doesn't mean that he's going to die instantaneously. Trefa means he'll die within a year. So to just be made because you saw a limb was severed in a situation that would have made him a trefa, according to the Re, is not good enough. You can't be made because you do not know that he's going to die within the right amount of time. And you may prematurely be matir to get remarried. But anyway, so the Mishnah said that if you see that the limb is severed, so then that's you can't be made about it. So it says more Rumini, but I'll ask you a stira from Maseches Alos Adam Enu Metame Achetete Nafsho. A person cannot be metame, someone who touches him betumas meis, until he's dead. Afilu maguyad, even if you touched him while he was already had a limb severed. Afilu goseis, and even if you touched him, he was already goseis. So tuliyam la metame hamachilochai. It's telling me that he's not metame yet, but it seems to take as a davar pasha that of course he's not going to survive. So if he's not going to survive, you shouldn't be able. Shouldn't that be enough to be made about him that he is dead? So Rabbi lo kasha. So Rabbi says no. That's a machlokas already between the Rabban and Rav Shimon ben Elazar, whether a maguyad is going to live or not. So here also it's not a stira. Ha, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, our Mishnah that says that you cannot be made about a maguyad that he is dead follows Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Ha, Rabbanon, and the Mishnah and Alos follows the Shita of the Rabbanon that he's for sure going to die. Where do we see such a machlokas? Titania, mi idin al maguyad, you could be made about a maguyad that he is dead, about someone with severed limbs that he is dead, and his wife can get remarried. But someone who's hanging on a gallows, you cannot be made about, because that's not a vaday that he's going to die. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, afal a maguyad, ain't me eden meshiyach lichvos velichios. That even a maguyad you can't be made about, because it could be that wherever they severed the limb, they'll burn that area closed to what do they call it? To cauterize it or whatever to close out and stop the bleeding, and then the person is going to live. So says Rami Matzis Laukmi, Rav Shimon Elazar. Wait, can you really say that our Mishnah follows the Shita of Rav Shimon Elazar of Hakatani Seifa? But the Seifa of our Mishnah says Maisa Ba'Asya. There was a story in a place called Asya, Be'echad Shoshul Liyam, where a guy was thrown into the ocean. V'lo also Biyadamela Raglo, and only his leg came out of the ocean. V'amru Chachamim in Arkuva Lamaylan. Chacham said that if the leg was severed above the knee, Tinase, his wife can get remarried. Min Arkuva Lamata Lo Tinase. If it was severed below the knee, she's not allowed to get remarried, because that's a cutting off of the leg that's not necessarily going to cause death, and we have to be choshish that maybe he's alive somewhere and it's mayim shein lim. So if maybe he came up on the yabasha somewhere far away. So the Gemara says from the fact that when it's cut min arkuva lemaila, that if the leg is removed above the knee, that we allow her to get remarried. So you see that a muguyad cannot survive. So our Mishnah does not follow the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Elazar, who holds that a muguyad can survive. So says the Gemara, shayni maya demar zumak. A muguyad normally can survive, but not in the ocean. In the ocean, it will absolutely aggravate the wound, and he's going to die. But I saw once a certain Arab merchant that took a sword and he cut his camel, and he didn't, and it died while it was screaming. That camel must have been a very weak camel when he did the cut, but a stam muguyad is not going to die on account of that. Rava Amar b'sakim ulbenes v'divrei akol, that our mission that says that you cannot be made about a muguyad is talking about where you first heated the knife with fire, and then everyone agrees that you can recover from such a wound, because the burning of the knife will stop the wound from bleeding and will allow the severed limb, the person with the severed limb to survive, and therefore you cannot be made that the person is dead. The Torah quotes a shita of the Ramah that dafka, if you know that it was a sakin melubenis, you cannot be made that he's dead. But if you don't know whether it was a sakin melubenis or not, you don't have to be choshesh that maybe the person heated the knife first, and then you can be made. However, most of the Rishonim disagree. They say that even besafek you cannot be made, because maybe he used the sakin melubenis, and that maybe is enough of a doubt to say that you cannot testify that the person is in fact dead. And then we had mentioned in the Mishnah hachaya ochelas, that if you see an animal eating the person's body, you still can't be made. Some Rabbi Dimar Shmuel lo shanu el makom shein afshel yotze. That's only if it's eating like a finger of the person's body, a part of the body where he wouldn't die from. But if he's eating the person's brain or heart, then mi'idin, then you could be made that he's in fact dead and that his wife can get remarried. If you saw that they severed the kana and the veshet of the person, the food pipe and the windpipe, or you see that they severed row of both pipes, and then you ran away and you didn't wait to see that he was actually dead, you could be made he is actually dead. Says Gemara, Eini, Vam Rabbi Domer Shmuel, didn't Rabbi Domer Shmuel tell us, Shachar Bo Shnayim, Rav Shnayim, V'Ramaz V'Amar Kisu Gel Ishti, Harei L'Yichtu V'V'Yitnu, that if a person had Shnayim or Rav Shnayim severed, and he makes a remiza with his hands, he gives sign language to go write a get for his wife, you're allowed to go write a get for his wife, so you see that he's still considered to be alive, even though he's already shachut, because if he had a din of a mace, he wouldn't be able to give a get to his wife. So since Rav Yudah Mishmuel holds that legabe the get, that a shachut is considered alive, how could he hold that a shachut, you could be made about a shachut that he's dead? Well, says Gemara, very simple. Chayhu, he's alive right now, in this moment, but v'sofa lamos, he's about to die. Right, meaning there's no chance of survival. You don't come back from that, from having shachut rov shnayim. He may survive the next few minutes for us to write a get, but tomorrow you can go be made that he's in fact dead. Elameata, if that's the case, Yegola al yado. If you know for sure that he's going to die, so if someone does that to a person b'shogeg, he should go to galus. Alametanya shachshayim rov shnayim. that if you b'shogeg cut two simanim or rove of both simanim areza ain't no gali, you don't go to galus because maybe you didn't really kill him. No, about that we said that Amar of Hoshaya, it's not because he's not going to die that you don't go to galus. It's cheshinu shema haruach bilbalto. It's that he's going to die, but we're concerned that the reason he died is not only because of the incision that you made, but also the atmosphere and the dirt in the atmosphere and that can aggravate the wound and will make him die much more quickly. So it's only with the tziruf of the ruach also that he dies. So it's not purely your action. Inami shema ihu kiriv misasa. Or we have to be choshish. Maybe you weren't the sole killer of the person, because it could be that he was when you cut his neck, he started freaking out and jumping all over the place, and that itself, that movement, hastened his death. So my benayil, what's nafkamina between the two reasons that he may have died, not only as a result of the incision, the shachti beves the shisha, if there's no ruach, it's in a marble house, it's in a perfectly clean area, uparchis, but he was jumping around, inami de shachti bebra, or you shachted him outside, velo parchis, but he didn't move at all, so then you would have ruach bilbalto, but you would not have the possibility that that he's the one that was makariv esmi sasa. Okay, but Hashem, we'll stop there. We'll pick up at Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lokal tomorrow at the two dots. Everyone have one. Oh, tomorrow Shir is going to be earlier. Stay tuned to the WhatsApp chat. I have a chasana tomorrow night, so I'm going to have to leave earlier. So Shir will probably be like much earlier, is my guess. Probably morning hours for anyone to make it. Much appreciated.
Oh, God.